All right, thank you. I'm really excited to be here because this project is a project that basically for me started back in 1991 when I was just finished my master's degree and I was working on drinking water treatment residuals, and I would never in my wildest dreams have thought that here it is 2015 and I still get phone calls regarding this material. And so this is a project that I worked on with the city of Boise, Idaho. And they gave me a call one day, and in a roundabout way, I got stuck working on drinking water treatment residuals again. And I think it fits perfectly for this session. And so the title is Aluminum-Based Water Treatment Residuals, Sorb Phosphorus in Urban Wetlands. And it's preliminary study, but I probably should have hacked that out about maybe 3 weeks ago because I just realized that the city of Boise actually implemented this. So it's actually really cool. As a scientist. And so what I'm going to be talking to you for the next 10-15 minutes is this place called the Hyatt Wetlands Reserve. And when you look at this reserve, you're like, wow, it's beautiful. This is at dusk. And you can see some low-lying mountains to the north, northwest. This is close to Boise. And it looks like you want to go camping here, right? I would. The amazing thing about this site is that it's in downtown Boise, Idaho. It's surrounded on four sides by an urban environment. And basically, this location is it butts up against an old stream bank where the Boise River used to run, probably tens of thousands of years ago. And so you see the Boise River. Well, you see the outline of the wetlands, and then you see the Boise River running from the bottom right to the top left. And so this is the issue with the city of Boise. The city of Boise has a wastewater treatment facility on this river, and they're butting up against their phosphorus discharge limits. And so they're trying to come up with creative ways to offset phosphorus discharge from their wastewater treatment plant by doing some really creative things. And in fact, there's another project that I wish I could tell you about, but I don't have time. So there's this project, and this is called the Hyatt Wetlands Reserve. And so the concept is to try to limit phosphorus runoff or capture phosphorus from an urban environment before the water actually runs back into the Boise River. And so this is a wetland a little more up close and personal. There's actually a canal that runs on the south side of the wetland, and that water actually drains into the wetland itself, and then the water drains from the bottom right-hand corner of the wetlands to the top left, and eventually it winds its way back over to the Boise River. And so the city approached the ARS a number of years ago, probably 2-3 years ago, and said, well, what can we do? We know, Jim, you work with water treatment residuals. You've done it for almost 25 years, And so what can we do with our water treatment residuals from our drinking water treatment plant to beneficially reuse those? And I said, well, this is an ideal location. It's a great project. And so what you see in the bottom left-hand corner of this picture, that little grassy triangle, it's an engineered wetland to sorb phosphorus from urban runoff. And so that's what we did, and that's what the city did. They engineered this bottom corner to sorb phosphorus from urban runoff. And so the gist of it is the water from the urban environment runs into this canal, and then the canal transports water eventually back to the Boise River. But at times of high phosphorus load in that water, the water is diverted either into the wetland itself or hopefully into the engineered wetland. And so I'm going to talk to you about the engineered wetland and how we got to this point. Here's another view. It's a different view from Google Earth. And this shows you in the bottom kind of left-hand corner, you can see the two head gates that allow water to come in from the canal. There's a buried tank, if you will, with this kind of brownish-grayish grating on top. That's a sedimentation pond, so it hopefully removes any sediment. There's not a whole lot of sediment in this canal water, believe it or not. And then the water is either diverted, it kind of runs downhill here to the wetland itself, or there's actually a pipeline, so in times of high phosphorus load in the canal itself, it can be diverted, and it flood irrigates that triangle of grass that you see there. And so how did the city get to this point? I think I already set the stage for this. They actually contacted us, the ARS, and I live maybe 2 hours east of Boise, Idaho. And like I said, I've been doing this for a long time, but I've never done something like this before. This is why this is really cool to me. So I'm taking 25 years of research and actually putting it to use finally. And so what did we do? This is what we did. We set up a simple column study to mimic what the city would do on site. And so this is what these are what the columns look like. There were columns with grass and no grass, and I'll explain this down here in this bottom right-hand corner. So the columns, at the bottom of the columns, we had a screen that was mounted on the bottom of the column to hold all the material in place, and the columns were mounted on top of these black stainless steel gratings, and we collected leachate water underneath. So in the bottom of each column, there was pea gravel just to hold the material in place, and this is exactly what the city did on site, okay? So they put some pea gravel down, and then they overlaid that with 40 centimeters of sand, and then they took 6 inches of soil. This was all from on-site. They overlaid that with 6 inches of soil, and they wanted to grow red fescue. And so you can see the first column on the left-hand side, that's sort of our control with no plants. We had another control with plants, with red fescue. And then what we did was we said, well, let's make a system that can sorb phosphorus, but if you run out of phosphorus sorbing potential in this system, you can come back in 10 years or 20 years or 40 years and overlay the system with more drinking water treatment residuals. So the materials in the last three columns are aluminum-based water treatment residuals at 62, 124, and 248 megagrams per hectare. And those are weird numbers, right? So this is what we did to come up with those numbers for the city. We said, let's take a look at the drinking water treatment residuals that you have on site, and let's determine how much phosphorus basically that material can hold. And we said, we want to apply materials that you can get phosphorus sorption for 10, 20, or 40 years. Just came up with those numbers. And we based that on the average runoff of soluble P from the urban environment, based on how much average yearly rainfall the city of Boise receives, the something called the WTR, Water Treatment Residual Phosphorus Sorption Index, basically how much phosphorus this material can hold, and then the amount of land area in that little triangle that I showed you on the last screen. And we came up with these values based on this information. And so this is what we did in this study. So we established fescue, and once it was established, once per week for 3 months, we applied a solution of 0.19, roughly, ppm of soluble P, just like what they see in urban runoff in Boise. And then we applied enough of that liquid to collect 1.1 to roughly 1.2 pore volumes of liquid passing through the columns. Afterwards, the solution volumes, the soluble P, and we actually determined infiltration rates after everything. Well, we determined infiltration rates when we were running the study, and the other two constituents were determined after water was passed through. The city was concerned that the WTRs were going to clog the system and reduce infiltration rates. So okay, we better take a look at this as well. And then, of course, pretty typical, you measure fescue yield, we determine phosphorus concentration and uptake, and then based on some of that data, not that we weren't going to do this, but we followed that up with some pretty basic and maybe a little bit more complex soil extraction type things, Olsen phosphorus, amorphous aluminum, and phosphorus associated with that amorphous phase. And then we performed a three-step sequential extraction procedure to kind of determine where the phosphorus was located. And then we finally wrapped it up with determining the initial and final P sorption capacity of each one of these layers. And so the data I'm going to show you will mainly focus, in fact, I think it exclusively focuses only on the aluminum-based water treatment residual layer because it's the layer in this system that's doing the work. Okay. And so here are the results. And this table's got a lot of data in it, so I'm going to go through this step by step. It's really cool data. So on the left-hand side are the treatments. So you have our control without grass or fescue, control with fescue, and then the increasing amounts of water treatment residuals. And the first column is the infiltration rate. And so this was something that the city was concerned with because they're flood irrigating, and they really don't want water standing there for a very long period of time. And so what you see here is that the infiltration rates, these are in basically inches per second, the infiltration rate increases as you grow plants. The WTR has no effect on infiltration rates. And so that was a good thing to tell the city of Boise, that you really only need to grow plants and your infiltration rates are going to increase. The next two columns, the next column shows you the soluble P added, and you notice that it significantly increases with water treatment residual application. And so this was the concept. We were trying to collect 1.1 to 1.2 pore volumes of liquid, and when you had this extra material, the water treatment residual in the column, you actually had to add more liquid to get 1.1 to 1.2 pore volumes. And so we actually added increasing amounts of P to the system as you increase WTR. But the third column shows you that we significantly decreased the amount of phosphorus that was leached through the system, which in and of itself is cool. So when you grow plants, you actually see about a 50% decrease in the phosphorus that's leached. And when you add water treatment residuals, regardless of the application rate, you actually see about a 60% decrease coming out the bottom. And so where is that phosphorus ending up? Well, the fescue grew really well. In fact, it increased. We saw an increase in yield with increasing water treatment residual application rate. So that should probably tell you something about what's going on with phosphorus. We'll talk about that in a second. But the fescue phosphorus concentration and uptake actually increased as well. And so that should tell you something about what's happening with phosphorus in the soil. And so this led us to doing some phosphorus in the water treatment residual phase. And so this led us to some of the data I'm going to show you next. And this, by the way, if you've ever read anything about water treatment residuals use, this is atypical of findings. So typically water treatment residuals have a strong capacity to sorb phosphorus, and they tend to hold phosphorus very tightly, very strongly. And in this case, at least early on in the system, that's not the case. The phosphorus is available for plants. And so here are the results for the water treatment residual layer. And so I'm just going to show you, like I said, the water treatment residual layer. So across the top, from left to right, are the increase in amounts of water treatment residuals, and then the properties on the left. And if you walk through this, the first row is Olsen extractable phosphorus, and what this tells you is that the phosphorus that's initially sorbed onto this material is available for plants. We see an increase in phosphorus concentration or plant available phosphorus as we add these higher application rates of water treatment residuals. And then if you look at the amorphous phases, they actually increase, and this is no surprise because the water treatment residual itself is basically amorphous aluminum, and it's got some amorphous iron present in it as well. And so you see an increase in both of those phases in that system, and that's kind of a no-brainer. I don't know why I showed you that, but it just felt like throwing it in here. And then the last portion I'm going to show you is the three-step sequential extraction procedure, and this sort of operationally defines where the phosphorus is located, what pool it's located in the system. And so you see an increase in the soluble aluminum and iron-bound phase and the occluded phase, and that occluded phase is a phase that's either coated by an iron or aluminum coating. And so what that tells you is it just really supports the data that I showed you above. Okay, that phosphorus is being associated with aluminum and or iron in the system. And that's sort of a no-brainer because we added aluminum to the system. But you know, nonetheless, it supports our findings here. And then, so the last part I want to show you is the results for the water treatment residual layer in terms of how much phosphorus it can actually hold. And so this is a really simple yet I think elegant way of determining the way or the amount of phosphorus that a system can hold. And in this case, it's the aluminum water treatment residual phosphorus storage capacity is calculated by this relatively simple equation. And it takes into account essentially the amount of phosphorus, aluminum, and iron in this oxalate extraction, or i.e. amorphous extraction. These are amorphous phases. And so I'm not going to go through the equation itself, but basically you just do an extraction, you determine how much aluminum, iron, and phosphorus you have in the system, you just run them through ICP, and you come up with the answer. And this is what we found. And so if you look at the increasing amounts of water treatment residual from left to right, we can calculate the initial P storage capacity, that's on that first row, and then the final P storage capacity after everything's said and done. And what you see is at least the second and third columns show almost no decrease in P sorption capacity after adding about roughly 3 years worth of irrigation water to a system based on the amount of rainfall that the city of Boise receives. The first treatment, though, we saw a significant decrease. I shouldn't say significant because it's an N of one. So a drastic reduction in phosphorus storage capacity. And so what we did was, based on all this data, we approached the city and we said, well, you should be applying this material in this system at, you know, maybe 124 roughly or 248 megagrams per hectare to really give you the most bang for your buck, and you can just let it go. And they sort of ignored us, and they applied at about a third of the lowest application rate. The really interesting thing is that they just found, they just started this system. I mean, they just ran water through it one time this year. That's all they needed. And that's all the amount of water that they had in terms of the amount of runoff that we saw in Boise this year. And they saw a 91% reduction in soluble P coming out of the system from coming in. And so that's pretty drastic. If you're talking about a 0.2 ppm phosphate coming in, and you're talking about 0.01 to 0.02 ppm phosphate coming out. So the system's doing its job. It's just a matter of how long it's going to do its job for the city. And so I think with that, I'll wrap up and take any questions.
I have a couple questions. One, the first is whether there's any plan like vegetation removal to try to extract some of that phosphorus from being reintroduced to the system after growing, and then whether there's been any monitoring on pH and reducing conditions within these systems.
Okay, you had two questions. One was that if there was any plan in terms of removing vegetative clippings, and that was something that was suggested to the city that they should do, because there's evidence out there. In fact, it's some work that we just published a couple years ago that once you clip a plant, soluble P is actually released from that plant material, right? Just because you're causing some kind of cutting effect, and so soluble P basically leaches out. And so we suggested to them that they should remove vegetative clippings every once in a while. And then the second question dealt with basically redox conditions. So I've never published this data, but the beauty of aluminum-based water treatment residuals is that they don't undergo redox. So at least the aluminum portion doesn't. And our findings have shown, at least in the past 20, 25 years, is that it's the aluminum fraction of the aluminum-based water treatment residuals that are doing the sorbing of phosphorus. And so once it's sorbed, even if you undergo redox, that phosphorus doesn't come off. And so we're hoping that even if the system is flood irrigated, that you won't see a release of P into the environment. It's a good question.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.